Acts chapter 12. The chapter opens with a statement regarding the hatred and malice and evil intent of the government at that time toward the Lord's church. We read in verse 1 that Herod the king stretched forth his hands and figurative expression of his intent to vex, to do evil to certain. So he had certain individuals picked out to certain of the church. In verse 2, it's stated that he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. In verse 3, because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And Peter was arrested and would have been killed, but the days of unleavened bread were going on, and we read in verse 4 that he's put in prison, heavily guarded. The intention is to have him killed. So from verses 3 through 19, you have the account of Peter's imprisonment and his miraculous deliverance from prison. The account, of course, should be a source of encouragement to God's people, a source of strength and hope. There's many instructions for God's people. It's an account in which we see the power of God, the ability of God, the control, the authority of God are all very clearly displayed. We see the church banding together in prayer, and there's much in the account to encourage that activity. The account also manifests and illustrates what we read in Ephesians 3, verse 20. That is, our God has the capability, has the wherewithal to act in such a way that surpasses anything that we could possibly ask or think. And he has the capability to do beyond our expectations. I want to take our thought tonight from verse 5. We're only going to give a short message and then like to break off into prayer groups. But in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God, of the church unto God for him. We are told the circumstance here in verse 5. Peter's in prison. And then we read, but. Peter's in prison, but. Meaning, on the other hand. Or nevertheless, however. So on the one hand, Peter's in prison. On the other hand, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So on the one side is Herod, representing the power of the world, representing a great problem, a great difficulty at this time, an impossibility, humanly speaking. And on the other hand, the church is praying. But prayer was made of the church unto God for him. That was the reaction of the church. That was the activity of the church during this time. That ought to always be our reaction. That ought to always be our activity. In verse 12, we see This verse 5 is explained a little more. Many were gathered together praying. We see that they were in the house of Mary. So in these two verses, verse 5, verse 12, we have gathered together praying, verse 12, verse 5, unto God for him. Gathered together praying unto God for him, that is Peter. So we want to speak tonight on gathered together to pray unto God for. Gathered together to pray unto God for. First of all, notice that they are gathered together. The very word church in verse 5 speaks of the fact that they had assembled. And they had done so for the purpose of praying for Peter. And in verse 12, again, they're gathered together. Gathered together. And this for praying. So they came from various points of destination to one point of destination. That's true anytime there's a gathering together. Whoever gathers comes from various destinations to one point of destination. Whatever else was going on in their lives, they were gathered together praying. We always have things going on in our lives. And likewise, so did they. But they were gathered together praying. The word praying, of course, tells us many things. To pray, first of all, is to take our proper place before God. So they were gathered together, taking their proper place before God. That's a good gathering. To pray is to realize our own weakness, our own ignorance, and our own need, and at the same time recognizing the sovereignty and the greatness and the authority and the power and the ownership of God. All of this transpired. They were gathered together praying. To pray is to have our hearts drawn to God. One does not pray if their heart is not drawn to God. So they were gathered together with their hearts drawn to God. To pray is to earnestly seek the Lord. And they were gathered together praying. So they were gathered together to seek the Lord. To pray is to have contact with heaven. It's to make personal contact with the Lord. And they were gathered together praying. What was their focal point? Most would answer that question, well, Peter was the focal point. Oh, no, he wasn't. Notice verse 5 again. Prayer was made unto God. Unto God. God is the focal point. God is the focal point in all prayer. He's the main focus. Prayer was made unto God. So they were gathered together, and there was an awareness of God. Prayer was made unto God. So in that gathering, in that assembly, everything is moving toward God. Unto God. Those are two very important words. Unto God. Tells us the direction that everyone in that assembly is moving toward. Unto God. Again, in prayer, our hearts are drawn to God. Again, prayer was made unto God. Their focus was upon God. They are looking to God. They are not looking anywhere else at this time. They are looking to God. Prayer was made unto God. Why? Why are they focused upon God? Well, because they had a personal belief in God. They had a personal assurance and conviction concerning God. Their belief, their assurance, their conviction was that God is living. No sense praying unto a dead God. So they had this belief, they had this conviction that God is living. They have this belief and conviction that God is able. Why would you pray unto a God who's not stronger than you are? Why would you pray unto a God that is not able? So it's obvious, if they're praying unto God, they believed, they had assurance, they had conviction that God was able, that God was righteous, that God was gracious, that God was merciful, that God was faithful, that God was loving, that God was caring, that God was sustaining. Therefore, they prayed unto God. So in this gathering, they are seeking God because they have a belief concerning Him. They have an assurance. They have a conviction concerning God. But they're seeking God. They sought His power. Is that not what we do when we pray unto God? Whether it be on our behalf or someone else's behalf. We're seeking the power of God. We're seeking the help of God. To pray unto God is to admit that you need help. They're praying unto God. They're seeking the help of God. They're seeking the intervention of God. Peter's in prison. They can't get him out. There's really nothing they can do for Peter other than what they're doing, praying unto God. So they're praying that God would intervene in their situation. They're praying that God would manifest Himself. Again, the focus is God. And that's always so in prayer. They knew that their sufficiency was in God. So what did they do? They talked to Him. When you know that your sufficiency, everything about you, is in God's hand, you'll talk to Him. And that's what they did. They knew the one who knew exactly where Peter was. None of these in the church knew. They might have known where the prison was, but they don't know exactly what cell Peter is in. They don't know that, but they knew the one who knew exactly where Peter was located in that prison. So they talked to him. Makes sense. If you know the one who knows all things, it makes sense that you would talk to him. That you would ask him. They knew the one who knew Peter's exact circumstances. None of them knew exactly what Peter was feeling. None of them knew exactly what Peter was going through, but they knew the one who did know. So they talked to him. Again, makes sense. It makes sense. They knew the one who, again, Herod's the problem here. And they knew the one who had the heart of Herod in his hands and could turn it whithersoever he willed. So they talk to him. No need to talk to anyone else. No one else has the heart of Herod in his hands and can turn it whithersoever he will. But they knew the one who did. So they talked to him. They knew the one who controlled all things. They knew the one who sustained all things. They knew the one who was greater than Herod, greater than the king. They knew the one who was greater than the king's army. Herod's army was a powerful army, but they knew one who was more powerful than Herod's army. They knew the one who was greater than the prison walls. So they talked to him. They knew the one who was greater than the chains and greater than the iron gates. So they talked to him. And they were all gathered together with this common knowledge of God, this common belief, this common assurance, this common conviction concerning God. And they're all gathered together talking to the Lord. They knew the one who could bypass the top security. They knew the one who did not need to check in at the front gate. They knew the one who did not have to be cleared by any warden. They knew the one who could just show up anywhere in that prison. So they talked to him. Again, they had this common belief. They had this common assurance concerning God. They knew the one that was greater than that prison, greater than the iron gates. So again, they talked to him. They knew God. And what a wonderful gathering when it is a gathering of a people who know God. A gathering of a people who have a belief and assurance and a conviction concerning God. And who gather to talk to God. In praying, they are casting their cares. They're casting themselves upon God. It's more than just casting your cares and your burdens upon God. It's casting yourself upon God. They were praying unto God. They were leaning upon God. Not only were they leaning upon God, they were drawing from God. That's what we do when we pray. We're drawing from God. We're talking to God. God's talking to us. We're drawing from God. We're receiving from God. And they were gathered together to pray. We read here also in verse 5, prayer was made without ceasing. So they were gathered together, and the business at hand was prayer. That's what they gathered to do, to pray. Their hearts were burdened. How burdened were their hearts? So much so that they prayed without ceasing. In other words, they prayed, and then they prayed some more. And then they prayed some more. And then they prayed some more. They prayed without ceasing. There was a continuing of bringing their burden and their problem and their difficulty and their need to the Lord. And they did so without ceasing. Without ceasing. They prayed for God's intervention. And they did so without ceasing. Again, those words, without ceasing, convey the idea of that which is intense. That which is passionate. So they're gathered together praying, and they're doing so in a very intense and passionate way. They're gathered together praying, and they have a desire, they have an energy in their praying. There's a burden. They prayed again, and then they prayed some more. They prayed without ceasing. They prayed on and on. They continued to pray. And then notice they prayed specifically. God's the focus. But they prayed for something specifically. Peter was kept in prison. But prayer was made unto God for him. For him. They are praying for something very specific. They are praying for Peter. Gathered together, praying unto God for him. Banded together in a common cause to pray for Peter. Peter's in prison. He's basically on death row. But that night, in the house of Mary, the church had assembled, and they put Peter's case into God's hands. There's no better place to put anything than God's hands. And they're basically saying, Lord, we can't get Peter out. We really can't do anything right now to even help Peter. But we put his case in your hands. We put him in your hands. So they're not just praying in generalities, but prayer was made unto God for him, for Peter. They were pleading with the Lord, and they were doing so on behalf of Peter. We gather together every time we meet, and we pray, but we, in our gathering, we don't pray without ceasing. We eventually go home. But as we go home, then of course, each one of us individually is to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you spend the entire day on your knees in your house and you never go anywhere, but it means that your heart is constantly thinking, your heart is constantly being drawn to God, and you're constantly praying. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. It means that you're always ready to pray. You're always in a condition to pray. And we've stated this before. It's so important that we keep ourselves in a right spiritual condition for so many reasons. And one is somebody needs you to pray for them. And you need to be in a condition to do so. They were praying with heavy and burdened hearts. Again, James has already been killed, so there's great sorrow over that. Our hearts are heavy, and now it looks like Peter is going to be killed. So no doubt their hearts are heavy, their hearts are burdened. They have great love for Peter. They have great concern, they have passion, and they're praying unto God for him. We don't know exactly what they prayed. I imagine some just said, Lord, remember Peter. Remember Peter this night. Lord, help Peter. Lord, help Peter. If you're ever looking for someone to pray for, you can always pray, Lord, help Brother Dan. I appreciate it. Lord, help Peter. Lord, James is dead. They're soon going to kill Peter. Lord, please don't let Peter be killed. Again, we don't know exactly what they prayed, but we can imagine some of the things they prayed. Lord, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do, so we plead with thee to work a miracle. We read in James 5, verse 16, pray one for another. Pray one for another. We ought to do that every day. We have many to pray for. You have family members to pray for. You pray for people that perhaps you haven't shared that specific request with anyone else, but there's people everywhere to pray for. But when it says pray for one another, it's talking about in church capacity. We're to pray for as many as God puts upon our hearts, but we're certainly to take time every single day and pray one for another. That's our duty. It is the duty of every member of Home Baptist Church to pray for every other member. That's a duty. That's a responsibility. It's also a privilege. It's a privilege to pray. So you, anytime we gather together, you can look around and you see your brothers and your sisters in Christ. You see your church family. You see that there are needs. And even if you can't see the needs, rest assured there are plenty of needs. Rest assured that every single individual has needs. Every single individual has struggles and battles. Pray one for another. And as we've said many times, you don't have to know, because you know the one who does know. So you don't have to know everything that's going on in someone's life to pray. I don't trust anybody that says, oh, I need all the information, so I'm praying. I'm sorry, you're not getting any from me. He goes, I don't trust you. A lot of people want information in the name of prayer, but they're not praying, they're spreading. We don't have to know, because we know the one who does. So there ought to be, pray one for another. That ought to be our desire. It ought to be our desire every single day to pray for one another. We ought to long to pray for one another. Again, everyone here needs prayer, and everyone needs to be praying for one another. You may be in urgent need of prayer, but that doesn't excuse you from your responsibility to pray for others. Oh, I need prayer, I need prayer, I need prayer. Yes, we all do. But even if you're the one who needs the most prayer at this moment, you pray for others. You pray for others. It does us good to pray for others. Gets our minds off ourselves occasionally. Pray one for another. There is a great and valuable resource in prayer. We find help in prayer. I believe as they were gathered together praying, every one of them was helped. There's strength in prayer. There's joy in prayer. There's peace. When we're really in contact with God, there's a peace and an assurance that comes over us. In prayer, there's guidance. In prayer, there's instruction. It is in prayer that we find wisdom. It is in prayer that we can find relief and comfort. So we need to be a people of prayer. But tonight, verse 5, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, for Peter. Now, everyone here needs prayer. All of us do. You take Trevor and Theta. Those are two individuals that stand in need of urgent prayer. And that's what we want to do tonight, is to pray unto God for them. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray for anything else. We want to pray unto God for Trevor, Brother Mike, so he takes care of him. Pray unto God for Theta. and for Garth as he stands by her. So that's what we want to do tonight. The men will go back in the fellowship hall. And if you can't stay, that's fine. You just pray on your way home or whatever. But we want to pray for these individuals specifically. Again, the men will go back in the fellowship hall. The women will pray up here. We'll just break up into groups of maybe four people.